But again, we're honored to have Matthew up here this morning. And would you do me the honors of introducing your son and praying for him?
Sure.
And then it's all yours.
For those of you who don't know, this is Matthew, my son. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear your word. For everyone here, Lord God, I just pray for your blessing upon Matthew today, that, Lord, you just speak through him, give him the words, and open up our hearts to receive your word today, Lord God. Just pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You want to work the mic, too?
So, can you guys hear me okay with the microphone? All right. So, to start out with, I'm going to kind of pull a page out of Kenny's book. I know how he likes to start out. His message is with a worship song, and I think that's a really good way to kind of get into the Word and kind of start out the day this morning and to go down into worship. So I'm going to do that to start out with.
Jesus died, the wrath of God.
in Christ alone. It's one of my favorite songs. There's one line in that song that every time I listen to it, chokes me up. It took everything I had to be up here and not to be bawling with that song on, because for some reason, when I'm listening to it and I listen to the words, especially the part when it says, no guilt in life, no fear in death. And no one else except for followers of Christ can say that. We can take an unbelievable pure joy in that. And so, kind of leading into that, that's kind of going to be my topic, is joy. A couple months ago, I think it was September, Bob came and asked me if I wanted to do... He said, pray about it. So, a Sunday morning Bible study, and I was like, okay, I'll do it. What are we talking about? And he said, I'm letting everybody else pick. All you guys pick. I'm like, thank you for that. Because I've done other teachings, but I've had kind of laid out for me what I should talk about. And so if I have a starting point, I can kind of get a plan together. But then when you're told you have to get the starting point yourself, then you're like, and you're thinking about it, and you're praying about it, and you're like, what the heck am I supposed to talk about? I got to pick it. And so I was praying about it, and I was kind of thinking about, you know, the holidays and everything like that coming up. And I kind of feel like God spoke to me and said, I want you to talk about joy. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know where to start with that, so I don't think I'm going to do that. That's not going to happen. But it was like, I think it was like a week later or so, we were sitting in our basement just watching a movie as a family, and my dad's like, so what are you teaching on? I said, I'm thinking I might have an idea, but I'm not really sure. And he said, why don't you teach on joy? I was like, okay. And I think when he said it, he just thought he was saying it flippantly, but God doesn't work that way. Yeah, there's no coincidences in that. So to start out with, I kind of want to talk about the difference between joy and happiness, because I think especially people that aren't saved kind of get the two confused a lot today. So before actually getting into joy and studying it, if someone were to ask me, you know, is there a difference? Are they the same thing? I would have said, yeah, probably. I think so. I mean, they're pretty much the same thing. If I had to answer them right away without even thinking about it. But when God put this on my heart to kind of study and to learn about, I kind of learned that on the outside they are similar, and happiness can be a symptom of joy. But if you dig a little bit deeper, they're pretty different, at least I think. So happiness, I want to start and take a minute to look at that first. Or, you know, someone being happy is based on the current events or happenings, or, you know, in other words, a particular moment in your daily life. Happiness, as I'm sure I can personally attest to, and I'm sure everyone in here can come and go in the blink of an eye sometimes, just depending on what's happening. Whether it's, you know, countless times where someone will say something to you that will kind of turn your mood very quickly, or with some people with me sometimes it's like you're driving and somebody cuts you off and you're thinking about godly things, and you're even listening to worship song, but if somebody does that, there it goes, it's gone. In my job, sometimes there's guys that work for the same company that I do that I don't really like that much, and I go into work and I think that I'm gonna have we're not gonna get into that. And I'll go into work one day and be like, okay, I'm gonna have a nice day today. I know the guys I'm working with, I like them. I know what we're doing, and then all of a sudden my boss will be like, no, I need you over here. I'm like, with this guy. I'm like, are you serious? This guy? I can't stand this guy. And so I can be in the happiest mood ever, and that'll change it right around. Or one that I found recently that can change your mood is when Bob comes walking up to you with a piece of paper in his hand, and I'm sure people in here can attest to that, that, and he says, you know what, I have a question for you. That can change your mood very, very quickly. Because you know what's coming next. He's gonna ask you to do something, and you can say no, but you can't really say no. So, and it's gonna involve work, it's gonna involve study, it's gonna involve getting up in front of people, even though you're not very comfortable doing that and talking. So I looked up the definition of happiness, and one that really stuck out to me was happiness is the positive experience of emotions. And if we take a moment to really kind of examine happiness and look at it, it doesn't really take long to figure out that it can very easily come and go. And so that's kind of my thought a little bit, I guess you could say, on what happiness is. It's an emotion, it's a feeling that changes with your circumstances. Now, the question I kind of had is, how is joy different than that? And it seems like people, especially at this time of year, like to throw around it being the most, you know, joyful time of the year and all that because of the holidays. But the thing is I think that they're using the wrong word when they say the most joyful time of the year. Because when they use those sayings and everything like that, what they should be using is it. Happiest quote-unquote time of the year, because for a lot of people that aren't saved, it is kind of, because they're getting ready, they're getting together with their family and they're enjoying the time and the holiday to spend. And I say this because the world really has no idea, in my opinion, what true joy actually is, because true joy is only found by someone who gives their life to Christ and gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So right there it kind of tells us that joy is something given to us, especially by Christ. It's not given out to, if you're born, you don't have joy. It's given to us, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So someone who, like I said, someone who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit, is not saved, can't possibly know what joy actually is. The biggest difference between joy and happiness, I think, is living a joyful life through Christ really has nothing to do with what's going on around you in your life. But on the contrary, happiness, I think, has everything to do with it. Has everything to do with your current situation, whether or not everything is going well in your life, whether your job's going well, whether your home life is going well. That can make you happy, but on the flip side of that, if you don't have a job or your job's not going very well, or you're having problems in your marriage, or you're having problems with your parents if you're a young kid, that can flip your happiness right around. In James 1:2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So when I'm going through trials, or when you're going through trials of various kinds in your life, the question is that I kind of ask myself is, happiness ever emotion that comes over me, or does it come over you? And I can tell you from personal experience that the feeling of happiness or being happy is not even close to the first thing that enters my mind when something goes wrong or I'm having a problem. As long as you're actively pursuing Christ, joy will be in your life and fill your life, no matter what your circumstances are that you're going through. And if you have joy, He will give you the strength, and you won't need anything else to get through those trials if you have Christ's love and Christ's joy inside of you. That right there to me is kind of the biggest difference, I would say, between joy and happiness. Now that we've kind of covered a little bit of what the difference is, because like I said at the beginning, people get the two confused, and so I wanted to kind of clear that up at the beginning there. I kind of want to take a minute and just now that we've established that the joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit, and I, after going through all that, I kind of asked myself a couple questions when I decided to talk about joy, and I kind of wanted to go through those real quick. The three questions were, what is our joy really in? What do we have to do to keep our joy? And why is our joy important? So the first one is why. So what is our joy really in? In 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5, it says, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time." That kind of, that kind of covers it pretty much, right? I mean, that says it all. Our joy is found in the fact that although truly as humans and as from the start of the fall of man, we truly deserve death, really. We deserve death, and we deserve to be thrown into eternal fire. I mean, it's kind of harsh to say, I guess you can say, but without Christ, that's what we deserve. So, and God, our joy is in that the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son. He sent his son to die for us. And I was thinking about that for a minute, and I don't have any kids yet, I'm not married, but I can imagine that, thank you very much, that when I do, that would be something that I could not do. I could not send my son to pay for all of these sins and for all of these people that really weren't worthy of being paid for. And Jesus came and was willing and paid the ultimate sacrifice and payment for every sin that was committed, was being committed, and will ever be committed. And even if the only person that needed to be saved was me, he still would have done it. And I was thinking about that, and I was kind of putting this together, and I was like, you know what? How can you not have joy in that fact? That he loved me so much that he said if I was the only one, that he would come and die for me, even though that I am definitely not worthy of that. So no matter what happens in your life, no matter what hardships you face, someday, some that day that the world dreads the end of their life. If someone is not saved, the world is scared of that. I have witnessed it because recently my grandfather passed away about 6 months ago, something like that, I think. And his brothers aren't saved, and a lot of his family isn't saved. And I could just see the disparity that they came with, the troubleness that they came with, knowing that their brother was gone, and they didn't know what to do, he was dead, and they were just so distraught. But on the flip side of that, his children and his grandchildren, which is me, which is the Van Eypers, which is my sisters, which is my cousins, had a joy knowing that he is with his Father in heaven now, and he's not feeling any pain anymore. So that day will come when God takes you home to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. So, you know what, if that doesn't fill you with joy as a Christian, then I think you seriously have to examine yourself to figure out if Jesus Christ is actually the author and finisher of your faith? So that's one question that I asked. The second one is, how do we keep our joy alive? So, like anything in our walk with Christ, joy needs to be strengthened and looked after. Like anything in our Christian walk, we need to. There needs to be a work done on each individual area in our life. Like, if we want to be a patient person, we have to practice patience. If we want to be a kind person, we have to practice kindness. If we want to be a faithful person, we have to be faithful in the things we are asked to do and the things we say we're going to do. And the only way that this is done is we have to study God's word, and we have to go to him and say, Lord, you've given me these gifts for your glory, but I don't know how to use them. And I need you to teach me how to use them. You've given them to me through the Holy Spirit, and I know the Holy Spirit's in me, but these gifts are so weak right now that I need training in them. I kind of thought up an analogy kind of out of the blue, but since I like football, I kind of thought about this and wanted to bring it out. It's kind of like if, say, you're a highly rated quarterback coming out of high school, and everyone's telling you that you're going to be great, that you're the greatest thing, that you don't need anything, you're just going to go in, you're going to be great, you're going to win games, you're going to win championships, you're going to win individual awards, you're going to do... Yeah. And so when he decides that he's being recruited by all the top schools, and he has this pick of where he's going to go, so he picks the best team, he picks the best coach, and he goes there. And since he's been told that he doesn't need any help, that he doesn't need to be coached, he's already great, he's already going to do great things just on his own, he goes into it and kind of approaches his preparation and says, and this is how he approaches it. He approaches it that practice, film study, meetings with coaches, training are a waste of his time. And so he doesn't pay attention. He doesn't care. He doesn't work hard. And so then he gets to, and he doesn't really think that he has to work at all. So when the time comes for him to play a game, and him to start, he goes into the game, he goes into the huddle, he's all on the first drive, he's all set, he's all ready, he's hyped up, he's ready to play. He goes up and the coach gives him the play, he calls the play to his players, then he gets back there, he's standing in the shotgun, and he doesn't know what the play is. And he doesn't know where he's supposed to be, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, doesn't know where the ball's going. And he realizes that he has no idea what's happening. So he plays the whole game like that. The game ends. His team lost badly. He played absolutely horribly. Did not make one single play that he needed to. And after the game, he gets so distraught about this and so down, and his pride is so hurt that he leaves the game, he leaves the stadium, and never plays another game in his life. And his talent and his potential alone are not enough to be a great quarterback and to be a great team player and to win championships. He found out in the hard way that on his own, without any coaching, he had no chance to live up to the potential that he had. Like us as Christians, getting saved is enough to get us to heaven. I think we've kind of talked about that before, you know, getting into heaven with your tail on fire, as long as I get there. And that is... I don't know. I just kind of went over there. Sorry, Brian. But the thing is, I was thinking about that, and that may be what we want, and it's important for us to be saved and to get to heaven. But that's not what our mission is. That's not what our purpose is. Is to just get to heaven. Our goal is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And throughout the world, and and to, throughout the world, and to be used to advance the kingdom. So to be effective doing this, you must be willing to be coached, stretched, which is what I'm being right now, trained, and, you know, something that I sometimes struggle with is to just take the time and sit at his feet, because to me that's one of probably the most important thing in your walk, is to just take the time in prayer and just say, you know what, Lord, I need you to speak to me, and sit there and be willing to listen and be willing to hear what he has to say. And when he tells you it, when he says it to you, to take it and apply it, instead of what I did at first with this and be like, I'm not talking about joy. That's I don't even know where to start with that. And so the third one was, why is our joy important? In Romans 5-3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And in 1 Peter 1, 6-9, which is kind of a, which is the second part to, I already read verses 3-5. So this is kind of the second part to that. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor to when Jesus Christ is revealed. Through you, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we are given this gift of joy so that even at our darkest times in our life, even when we're our most down, our joy can't help but overflow. And people can't help but be attracted to that joy. Even to the point of saying, I don't know how you can be joyful. I don't know what you have. I don't know how you can be joyful when the world is collapsing around you. And I know that sometimes it feels like it is. I don't know how you can do that, but whatever it is, I want it. And I need to have it. And then God's got him right where he wants him, doesn't he? And then he uses us as kind of the closer sometimes to go in there and speaks through us to them and brings them into the kingdom. And especially around this time of year, I think it's people are kind of maybe more receptive to the message of the gospel. And I think we need to be a little bit more attentive to that and try to be willing, because you know God's willing to use you. You just have to be willing to be used. And it doesn't take much. I mean, I don't see myself as someone who knows a whole lot, and I can't sit there and match scripture for scripture with you. But I know that God can use me with what I have and where I'm at. And through using me, he'll strengthen me. He'll strengthen my faith. He'll strengthen my abilities. And you know, that's our whole purpose, and that's kind of what I'm getting after is. Is our joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift from God to advance the kingdom. That's why we have all of the fruits of the spirits, but of the Spirit. Particularly joy is what I'm talking about today. It's for His glory. It's not for ours. And the most important goal is, and the reason why I'm talking about this is so we can use that joy to win souls for Christ. So I hope that didn't go too short, but that is what I have. So.
Amen. Thank you. Give him a hand. Very good. Nope, your timing was perfect. Perfect. Chip off the old block, right, Ken? No, you did a great job, young man. One more time, give him a hand. It's always harder when you're not used to doing this, and you did it. You did an excellent job. Even though you were afraid, you had the guts to step out and try it, and that's the only way to grow, and you did a great job. We expect even greater things out of you. Amen? Amen. All right. Not very often is Roger this quiet. You must have done a great job. You explained it so well, Roger doesn't even have a question. So what more could we say? We have prayer downstairs, so we're going to dismiss right now. And if you can make it up there for prayer, come on, right? This is your favorite time. Who would you like to close? Me?
Yep. All right.
I like that. That's good. That's bold.
This guy's learning too much. I don't.
Yes.
Father, thank you. The young man's absolutely right. Joy is only for Christians, Father God, because what more can you say, Father God? No matter what happens, Father God, what goes on around us, Father God, we know that we are saved. We're on our way to heaven, Father God. What good is happiness when you're on your way to hell? We know it's not going to last long. There is not very many happy people in hell. But heaven is full of joyous people, and I want to be one. I know everybody does. I want to go up there and share the joy with them. Amen? So thank you, Lord. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the whole Whitick family. But, Father, just bless this day. Bless this word. Just use each and every one of us how you would today. In Jesus' name, amen.